impact some people today. I think we're going to do a great job.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Modern Man Podcast. And I am really excited for this one. Again, yes, we are in person, but my man made the trip up here from Greenville, South Carolina to be on the show. And I must say, I'm excited. We go way back, and I think the men that we were when we met each other are completely different than the men that we are now. Former professional bodybuilder on the podcast with me, Jermaine Todd, aka Pretty Boy JT, bro. Welcome.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for making the trip.
Most definitely. Appreciate you for having me, man. Definitely delighted to be here. So
yeah,
it's been a long time coming, for sure.
It certainly has.
And definitely.
I know we have history. We go back, but I want to make sure the audience can catch up a little bit, get a little introduction into to who you are, who you've been, who you've become, and who you soon to be, brother.
Well, those are the people that are listening. Some of the people know that obviously I was a professional bodybuilder for right at almost a decade, about 8 or 9 years. I've been competing about 16 years now total. So I just recently stepped away last year, actually right at 12 months ago, from the actual professional stage. So I decided at 35, it was time for me to walk away from the professional stage of competing. So now I've just entered into a new chapter of my life, obviously. So being an entrepreneur and actually starting my own business, which I'm actually a year in now. So I've used obviously everything I've learned in my years of competing and actually using that to coaching other athletes now to help them chase and pursue their health and fitness goals.
Man, that's fantastic, bro. Sure. And I knew you heavy when we were in the gym.
Oh, always, bro.
You
always,
know, sure. What was it like the first time you stepped foot in the gym, man?
Man, it's crazy to be honest, bro. My cousins, I have two cousins. A lot of people may know them, Stan and Doug. I first was introduced to them when I was probably 10, 11 years old, something like that, at my grandma's house. We had like a get together. They pulled up on like motorcycles and they were really big in the gym, you know, and being a young kid, seeing them, I told my dad, I was like, one day I want to look like that. You know, I want to be like them. And so I told my dad I wanted a weight set for my birthday.
Yeah.
And so my dad got me, you know, some dumbbells. Back then, these were the concrete ones with the plastic around them. You know, the old school joints. Yeah. So he got me a weight set, a weight bench. And I started working out, man, around like 13 in the gym, just in my garage. Push-ups, sit-ups, you know, the basic stuff. I didn't really know what I was doing, just wanted to work out. And so my first time in the actual gym was probably high school, obviously. But outside of high school, my first real gym, commercial gym, was probably like 17 years old. Wet behind the ears, man, young, didn't know really much of anything. We just had a ambitious drive to want to be better for sports, obviously. And a young guy at the time, he was older than me. He was Mr. South Carolina in 2005, John Snyder. And he had just won Mr. South Carolina. He was working the front desk at a powerhouse gym back in my hometown. And he came up to me. I walked in, told him I wanted to kind of join. Didn't have any money. I was working at Bilo, man, on the weekends. Played sports during the week and just worked as a bagger, as you call it. Getting carts and bagging groceries, you know, on the weekends. I could only work 2 days a week. So I didn't really have a lot of money back then. And I was making maybe $5 an hour, something like that. So I told him, I said, hey, look, I don't really have a lot of money, but I want to get a gym membership because I'm graduating high school next year. And I know after you graduate, they don't let you back on the premises as far as, you know, working out because you're not a student there anymore.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to get into working out serious. And so I decided that I wanted to actually get a gym membership. My father told me once I could lift all the weight that I had at home, that it was time for me to transition into the actual real gym scene. So once I was able to do that, I took that step. And so, yeah, 17, man. John Snyder was the, I guess you say, the person that got me started into bodybuilding. I didn't know what really bodybuilding was at the time. I just wanted to work out and lift weights. He saw I had a lot of potential. So what he did, he told me, he said, look, I'll give you a free membership. He gave me a week pass first for 7 days. Try it out. See how you like it. So I was like, all right, cool. So I would come after school every day. and he'd watch me. I would see him watching me work out. I only did like arms and chest back then. I didn't really know much else to do.
Every day was chest day, man. So,
it was just, you know, curls for the girls, man, and just some abs and some chest work. That was really all I did. So I remember he came up to me after my 7 days was up and he said, "What'd you think about the gym?" I said, "I love it." He said, "I'll tell you what, since you don't really have a lot of money," he said, "I work out a deal with you." I said, "All right, let me hear it." So he said, "If you let me train you for a show, I'll give you a full year free membership." So me at 17, I'm like, say less. Like, yeah. I didn't really know what entailed, what it doing a show entailed, but I knew I could get a free membership. So me being inquisitive like I was, I told myself, I was like, what I'll do is I'll just tell them I'll do a show and then not really do it just to get a free membership. So he said, "Well, training starts tomorrow. I'll see you here at 3 o'clock. And I'm like, "Training?" I'm like, "Okay." But I'm like, "I don't get out of school till 3:30. He said, "Well, training starts at 3. And he walked off. So now I'm thinking like, okay, well, do I have to skip class or what? So I skipped class the last period. Got there around like 2:45 or so. And he wanted to see how dedicated I was to my craft, you know, not really understanding what I was about to get involved in. He trained me. We did shoulders the first day. I never did shoulders before. And bro, I didn't know there was so many shoulder exercises you could actually do, but I was sore for like a week.
He grabbed the lightweight, didn't he?
Oh man, it was nothing but lightweight. Bro, I mean, I didn't know there was real delts and medial delts. I didn't know anything about that stuff. You know, so I thought we were going to do chest and arms. We didn't do chest and arms for like a week. We did legs, back, shoulders, everything else except that, because I was very dominant in those areas. He told me, you know, if you want to be a bodybuilder, you have to really be balanced and create a physique that's pleasing to the eye with them flaws.
How'd you feel about working on your weaknesses in that point?
At the time, I didn't even know they were weaknesses. You know, I wasn't aware of them. But once I actually started learning more about the body and the gym, I actually enjoyed every body part after that. Because I started seeing the results, you know, in the gym. And, you know, once you start looking at yourself in the mirror and seeing the progress, I became obsessed with it, bro.
Yeah.
And so after that, man, I used to beat him at the gym. You know, I used to be waiting on him. So, So, you know, my first show, I was 18. Actually, sorry, 19. My first show, I was going to be 18. But my first show we had planned was the day of graduation at high school. My mother told me I wasn't missing graduation for anything. So I had to push that show back to the next year. So we did my first show at 19 and I won the teen division. My next show at 20, I won the junior division. At 21, I did the adult division. I won my weight class. And so he told me, he was like, "I think you're ready to really start trying to compete with the, you know, in the open class." Because I was doing like novice, you know, teen, juniors.
Yeah.
And so, I won like my first 3 or 4 shows before I actually lost one. And once I lost, you know, I was already bitten by that bug, as they say. So I knew then it was no turning back because I was like, well, I got a taste of winning, so I can't leave on a L, you know? So I came back the following year and won. And man, ever since then, it's been history, you know? So I had a pretty successful career pretty early. I was pretty fortunate to climb the ranks pretty successfully, pretty early in my career. So I turned pro, obviously, in 2 different federations. My first time I was 22, in the SMB, actually it was SMBF. And then I turned pro in the IFBB at, 27. So, a lot of guys don't turn pro till the mid to late 30s, you know, so I got it done pretty early. And so me at 35 walking away from competing, a lot of people are like, "You have at least another 5 years in you."
Yeah.
And I do, but I wanted to leave on my own terms and not be forced out.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know? Gracefully. You don't want to be
bow out ahead.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't pull a Brady.
Yeah, bro. And to be honest, I mean, just being transparent with you, in that sport, we all know there's some things that we have to do and some choices we have to make with supplementation, enhancement, and stuff like that. And I just knew the older I got, the more detrimental that stuff can become to your health. And so I wanted to play my cards right, be smart about it, get in, make some noise, build my platform, get an audience, and get out. And so that's what I did.
Yeah. No, I respect that, man.
Sure.
And kudos to you for having that forward thought of like knowing where you're headed. Would you say the gym was your first love?
Probably second. My first love was martial arts. My dad got me into martial arts when I was probably like 5 or 6. I moved to the States. You know, I was born in Germany. A lot of people don't know that, but I was born in Germany. My dad was obviously military, retired 22 years in the service. So we moved here in the States when I was about 5-6 years old. And my dad was going back and forth to Korea, Japan. He was a lot of places. So he couldn't really take the time and really teach me the way he wanted. So he put me and enrolled me into an actual academy. And so that was really my first love was mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. I was just really good at it. And then from that point forward, that's what made me start working out because I wanted to become better at my craft. But once I got to high school, I started, you know, playing basketball, running track, football. Then the weights kind of took precedent.
Yeah.
You know, and so then I became obsessed with the working out aspect of things. And then it really wasn't about the sport anymore. It was more so about just me being the best version of myself that I could be. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that other kids weren't working out and I wanted to have a, you know, upper hand on everybody else. So I knew the gym was where I needed to be. So yeah. A lot of kids were partying over the summer, man, and I was in the gym, you know. And so people now to this day, I run into people from high school. I've been out 18 years now. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Damn, this made me sound old. But,
I'm with you, man. Yeah, I'm the same age.
Yeah, oh, so.
20-year reunion coming
yeah,
up.
For real. So I run into people from high school now, and they're like, bro, you're still doing this workout stuff. And I'm like, yeah, bro. You know, I used to skip class. Teachers would call the athletic director, which was the head football coach at the time, call him at his office. Is JT down in the weight room working mm-hmm. out? And my coach would go in the weight room and they'd be like, yeah, he's in here. Well, tell him to come by when class is over to get his assignment, get his homework. Mm-hmm. The teachers just knew I was just in the gym working out. And I got special treatment just because I played, you know, played ball and whatnot. But later on in life, I realized that didn't really serve me. I thought I was kind of getting ahead because I was kind of like weaving through the crowd and trying to slip through the cracks. And really, when I got to Greenville Tech, when I got to college, I realized that I had to relearn things I was supposed to learn when I was in high school, but I was working out instead of learning.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But as I got older, I realized that I had a passion for working out. And so I used that to my advantage and made that a staple in what actually I do now. So I ended up being able to figure out a way to monetize that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that because I think everything happens for a reason. You know, my mom and dad at the time didn't understand why I was so obsessed with working out. Mm-hmm. How's he going to make money working out? What is he going to do with his life? And a lot of times I tell people, like, find what it is you love to do and figure out a way to monetize that. Mm-hmm. It's not work to you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to chase the bag. You should really chase your passion. The bag will come. You know,
yeah.
And I did realize as I retired that at one point in time, I thought my career was about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized now it never was about me. It was really about others and serving others. And so now I realize that I've started doing that. I make more money now than I ever did when I was focusing on myself. When I was focusing on me, I feel like I was always chasing the bag. Now yeah. I'm focusing on others. The bag comes to you.
Yeah. It's just exuding that value to others and just knowing what you're capable of and what you can give
sure.
and pouring into others, man. And it's crazy you mentioned that because for a lot of people, I always say that the money and the bag is found in the depth. Too many sure. people are just surface level.
For sure.
They try something. I did it for a few weeks and it never yeah. panned out.
Yeah.
You know, you got the fruits the bodybuilding gave because you put in the work to get depth
almost
in it.
Almost definitely, yeah.
And you put in the work to be one of the best in the world at it. So I don't know. I don't care if it's knitting, if it's crocheting or what. Sure, if yeah. you put in that time and you put in the work to be one of the best at it, I guarantee the bag will come because you put in that
100%.
That day in and that day out.
You know, the grind, bro, is really where the magic is. You know,
mm-hmm.
people want to get to the destination. I remember hearing Kobe Bryant talking about, you know, that Mamba mentality. And he was talking about a lot of people see the championships, but they don't realize that the magic was during those hours and during those sessions when he was in the gym, you know, by himself,
yep.
shooting free throws, shooting three-pointers, running on plays, running drills. That's where the magic happens is the grind, you know. So I tell people, and especially a lot of my athletes I mentor now, you can't run away from the hard work. The hard work is what makes you who you are.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
that's where you really get to really master your craft. So when you get to the big stage, then you make it look easy.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
There's nothing easy about it.
What drives JT? Because I hear the introduction to martial art, you excel at that. The introduction to the gym, you excel at that. It's almost as though you make a decision or you get a taste mm-hmm. and you're not surface level with it. You're a very intuitive man. And yeah. when you pick a subject, you pick a topic. I see that dedication in you and that drive. So I'm curious what's the fuel behind that?
You know, it's crazy, bro, that you say that because my whole brand, you know, is ACE. And the A in ACE is the acronym for it, but the A in ACE is ambition. Mm-hmm. The C in ACE is creates, and the E in ACE is everything. So ambition creates everything. I named it that for a reason, because everything starts with ambition. Mm-hmm. I've always had a chip on my shoulder, I guess you'd say. At an early age, I always felt a need to prove myself to people for whatever the reason may be.
Yeah.
But even now at 36 years old, like, I don't participate in things to be mediocre. Anything that I do, I try to go hard at it. Mm-hmm. If not, I feel like it's really a waste of my time. So, and I'm not saying that everyone else has to be that way. Just for me, I don't do other things that I know I'm not trying to be 100% the best at.
Yeah.
I'd just rather put that time and energy towards something else that I'm actually passionate towards. So for me, it's a lot easier to become good at something that you're passionate about. So for me, I just, like I said earlier, I chase the passion. I don't chase the bag. I don't chase the money. I don't chase the fame. I chase what I'm passionate about doing. Yeah. And everything else is added to me, right? It's almost like the biblical stance. It says, you know, seek first yet the kingdom and everything will be added to you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of, I guess you could say, reflection of how I look at myself. I seek my passion first.
Yeah.
And to me, passion is what the divine spirit of God gave me, was what I'm passionate about. So as long as I'm doing what I feel like I'm in alignment with, mm-hmm. I feel like everything else to be added to me.
Fantastic, man.
For sure, bro.
Beautifully said, bro. Oh,
most definitely.
What do you link your identity to? Because I think a lot of people would find a hard journey going from martial art to the gym, mm-hmm. or, you know, 12 months out from stepping away from the world of bodybuilding, professional bodybuilding, yet there's a confidence and a foundation in who you are. The man sitting in front of me, you're clear on who you are. What do you link your identity to?
Bro, that's a loaded question. And the reason why I say that is because I've struggled with the definition of that answer mm-hmm. The last 16 months or so. That's changed a little bit. I used to link my identity to what I looked like, my physical appearance, my attributes that I had to present the physical form. But I've realized as I've gotten older and matured that, you know, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And so I realized that I'm so much more than what meets the eye. I'm so much more than my physical attributes. And so now I realize that since I've stepped away from competing, bodybuilding was a very vain sport. It makes you become that way inherently, even if you're not, because you're so focused on what you look like. The mm-hmm. outer surface layer of who you are is literally your whole value, what you look like. So what you eat, what you put in your body, how much you work out, how much you rest, all that stuff affects how you look. So for so long, I was so focused on my appearance. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that's what my identity was linked to. Stepping away now, I realized that I couldn't have been the furthest from the truth. I couldn't have been, because now I realize that although I'm not as big as I used to be, I've dropped 50 pounds since I stopped competing.
Still big head.
So, you know, and I'm walking around maybe 205 or so now. You know, I used to walk around 250 or so. I realize now that I've had to re-identify myself in a sense, because I'm no longer known as like the biggest guy in the gym or, you know, known for the size that I used to carry. So I had to realize, okay, is that really all I am, is just what I look like? Mm. Or is it more to it? So now I've started working on myself, really diving in deep to really find out who JT is to the core. I've done a lot of self-work this last year, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of reading, a lot of meditating, a lot of praying, really trying to figure out who I am as a person. And I think as males, a lot of us don't really mature fully mentally until we get older.
If iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. But if you're a man and you're a loner listening to this, then who sharpens you? What's going on, guys? Ted Thayton here, host of the Modern Man Podcast, also founder of the Noble Knights Mastermind Group. And I'm just out here encouraging you to find your circle. Maybe you're on a personal growth journey and nobody around you understands the new mentality that you're possessing. That's okay. You can find an online community that will pour into you, will navigate your goals and navigate your obstacles, share their experiences, resources, and more. Join the Noble Mice Mastermind Group and try us out for free to tap into a community of men helping each other scale up and reach their goals. Check out themodernmanpodcast.com.
Yeah. When I was in my 20s, bro, I was very, I say self-conceited, but arrogant to a way, to a sense. Very confident, very, very cocky, I guess, in some ways, some people would say. And I think a lot of that was just insecurities that I had in myself. I didn't want other people to see that in me. So I put this bravado on to make myself appear to be a certain way. But when people really got to know me, they saw that I really wasn't who I was. That was just a persona that I carried. Hence where the Pretty Boy JT thing came from, right? So I think now, man, as an adult, as a man now, like you said earlier when we first started the podcast, the boys we were when we met to the men that we are now is completely different. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know myself at the time. I knew what I was passionate about. I was good at what I did, but that was a process of me growing up into who I am now. So the person, like you said, that sits before you now, I know who I am. And I realize that I'm more than just my physical vessel. I have a lot more to offer than just my appearance. So now my biggest thing is trying to make sure that I expand my consciousness. Mm-hmm. I expand my mental capacity, and I try to learn something every day. And I can learn from any person that I encounter. I used to feel a sense of being better than. And I realize that now that's not really the way to go about things. It's more so of you can be better off, but I'm not better than anyone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I used to have that chip on my shoulder. So now I realize that it's more so about others and not about myself as much as I used to think it was. And that serves me now. You know, at one point in time, the attitude that I had, the mentality that I had served me in my professional career competing. But now it no longer serves me. So, mm-hmm. As I get older, I realize that things that no longer serve me, I discard them. And yeah. So now that mentality no longer serves me moving forward.
Yeah. I think the biggest delineation between somebody who stays stuck in their immaturity mm-hmm. and grows into that next level is being able to look within, have that self-reflection, look in the mirror and make adjustments to who the aspects you don't like.
For sure.
Like I remember when I first started identifying, okay, what is it I'm not doing? Why don't I feel fulfilled and why don't I feel this sense of peace? Mm-hmm. Right. And a lot of it was me just people pleasing. I'm compromising my boundaries for other people because I'm trying to be liked. I don't want to compromise the relationship. So, I'll bend a little bit, mm-hmm. which then turns into resentment towards the other person. Now I'm mad at the person and they don't even know why.
Yeah, that's real, bro.
And for me, I had to be like, okay, Ted, stop people pleasing. Understand your boundaries, stick to them, and if they don't understand, they're not for you.
For sure, 100%.
But that process it's hard, man. Having to look at yourself and be like, I don't like that about myself, bro. I gotta fix that.
And I'm not an advocate for cannabis in any way. That's not what I'm here for. But I will say this: I didn't try marijuana until I was 33 years old. I'm 36 now, so it's only been 3 years ago. Initially, I started because I was trying to stimulate my appetite to allow me to eat more calories, to put on more size, more muscle. But I ended up getting way more benefit from it than just the appetite stimulation. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, for me, maybe because I came into the experience as a man, as an adult, instead of a child, like most people try when they're young, high school, their mind's not really developed. I came into it as an adult. For me, it started, I feel like, in some way, firing off different synapses in my brain, mm-hmm. Connecting things that weren't connected before. It gave me a different perspective. I was able to see myself in a light that I'd never seen myself in before, right? Mm-hmm. I guess essentially that's what being high was for me, was me coming out of myself, seeing myself from other people's viewpoint. And I saw things that I didn't like about myself. Mm-hmm. I saw attributes and traits that I had that didn't really line up with me being a stand-up guy like I thought I was, right? And so I didn't feel like I was an honorable person, sort of the things that I needed to work on in order to become that person, right? So I started the self-work then. So it's been about a 2-3 year process for me. I started realizing that I need to be the person that I've always wanted to be And I wasn't at that moment in time. And it actually allowed me, marijuana allowed me to see myself from other people's viewpoint. Most of the time, bro, a lot of us just see the world out of our own two eyes.
Yep.
Because, I mean, the only two eyes we get to look out of is our own. So for me to actually come out of myself, right, essentially, and see myself from your eyes, to see what you think, or not you think, but to see what you see, mm-hmm. I was like, man, do I really do that? Do I really speak like that? Do I really come off that way? And I didn't like it. And so I wanted to change those things. So I told myself, if I want to become the person that I feel like that I was, clearly that I wasn't, I have to do the work.
Yeah.
We talked about earlier, I'm not running away from the work now. So the praying, the meditation, bro, to really sitting and counsel with myself, working on my demons, bro, is what I feel like I had to do to become the person that I am now. So it's not easy. A lot of people run from that because it is work, but nothing good comes easy.
Yeah.
You know,
you spend time in isolation at all intentionally?
At times now I do. And I'm going to be honest with you, just going back about 6 years ago, a lot of people know, some people know my story. I never really spoke about it publicly, but 6 years ago I was incarcerated for a time period. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that I was actually, I guess you say, sitting by myself, right?
Yeah.
And it was forced on me. Now, looking back in retrospect, a lot of people would say, well, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me. In some regard, it was. But I chose to make a decision to not allow that to be my ending story. So I used that instead of it being the worst thing that happened to me. It actually became the best thing that happened to me because I realized, OK, I can blame others for me being here. Right. Or I can take a stance on, OK, JT, what did you do to put yourself in this position to be here? I went through a lot of therapy. I realized that I had to work on some things within myself, had nothing to do with other people, right? It may have involved other people, but it was about me, my inner self. And so that was the first time I actually sat really by myself. A lot of times, bro, we're so distracted. I mean, media, social media, TV, movies, it's so much going on nowadays. There's so many stimuli, I guess, essentially, that we have from different things in life. And so a lot of times, we don't really sit still. You know, I think I told somebody two days ago, a lot of times we're praying for this, praying to God for that, praying to whoever your God is. You're praying to this being for this and for that. You're asking for this, asking for that. And I asked somebody the other day, when's the last time you just sat quiet and didn't ask for anything? Just sat still. You're always the one. Normally, we're always the one doing all the talking. We're always, God, bless me, God, do this, God. We're always the one asking, always the one talking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and sit still and not say anything. You'd be surprised what type of information, what type of knowledge you get from just not talking sometimes. Because sometimes, bro, like, I feel like, and this is just my own personal opinion, okay? A lot of us are so intrigued by worshiping something outside of ourselves. We're always seeking out. I take the stance on what we should do is we should be searching inward. Mm-hmm. When I started looking into myself and stopped looking out to myself for something or someone else to bless me or to forgive me, I don't have to ask to be forgiven. I can just do things better to not mess up, to have to ask for forgiveness for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't have to pray for a better job. I don't have to pray for more income. I can literally make decisions myself to put myself in better situations financially. I can be a better steward over my finances. I can make those decisions. So when I started looking inward to me and my actions and holding myself responsible and accountable, my life changed for the better. So I'm not telling other people not to do that, not to seek outward. But what I'm saying for me, when I stopped looking out and started looking in, my life changed tremendously.
For me, it's been praying for the attributes and the traits of which I want. Mm-hmm. For the man who would acquire the things that I want, right? My wife asked me one time, I used to have a Maserati on my vision board. Now it's a Ferrari F12 Berlinetta. Oh, don't worry, it's coming. They just haven't found my address yet.
I commend it for you, brother.
But I appreciate that. But she said, why do you want that car? And I said, I don't want necessarily the car. I want the man that's capable of earning that car. And when I pray to God, I don't pray for that car. I pray for the tenacity to go after my goals. I pray for the, sure. For the courage to make calls, cold calls when I'm afraid of rejection. I pray for the attributes and the traits of the person who I want to be. Mm-hmm. And then I make the action. I make the choice to do it. Right.
For sure.
So, way back, I think it was Tyler Harris who said on the podcast, if you pray for patience, God will put you in a position to be patient. He gonna make you
it. I just saw that on social media probably last week. I think I saw that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's facts.
So it's like, okay, you have to go through this threshold for the attribute that you want. Like if you want to be strong, okay, JT, people, so, oh man, how'd you get so big? How'd you get strong? I went under the heavy weight.
You have to run towards it. Don't run away from it. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to, bro. Like nothing good comes easy. And see, a lot of people won't. An easy button to hit and they want things to come now. There's no gratification in that. Mm-mm. You have to run towards the thing that you're afraid of. You have to face it head on. You have to. If you don't, the way I look at it is like this, we already know what outcome we have. So mm-hmm. what you're doing currently, you know the outcome of that. Okay. That's the alternative.
Yep.
You can stay where you are, right? Or you can do something different. To obtain something different, right? Mm-hmm. Doing the same things we all know gets you the same results. A lot of times it's New Year's. We just had a new year. A lot of people have New Year's resolutions. They set new goals and they don't ever obtain them because they're not really making any difference. Mm-hmm. They're not making any different changes in their lives. So they get the same result. You have to do something different. So if you've been running away from things your whole life, avoiding pain, avoiding the hard stuff, that's why you're in the situations that you're in. So when I started running towards the things that I was afraid of, running towards my demons, running towards my habits, running towards my addictions, running towards the things that I wasn't good at, mm-hmm. my life started changing in a better way. So now I don't fear anything because I realized that what's supposed to happen will happen. But at the end of the day, you can be brave and still run towards something that you're afraid of, essentially, because typically once you get towards that thing that you're afraid of, you realize it's not really that scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you have to get close enough to it to realize that.
Yeah.
It's crazy how that works.
We suffer more in imagination than we do in reality. I believe it was Socrates.
Heavy.
That's true.
That's true, bro.
We go through that because, you know, we freak out over doing X. And then when we actually do it, we're like, oh, that was it. But we'll spend weeks worrying about it.
Bro, a lot of it's just mental. Mm-hmm. I realize when people say most of the stuff is mental. You know, it sounds cliche, right? But it's so true. It's so true. Because what's the difference between the person that I am now and the person I was before? What's the difference between the person you are now and the person you were before? It's the mentality. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Body's the same.
It's this mentality. If nothing else, I'm actually older. So it's like I'm actually more capable sometime when I'm younger to do things that I am when I get older. But my mentality is much sharper.
Hold on. Can I sit there for a second?
Yeah.
Because... oh, man, the things I'm able to do now, mm-hmm. I can do what I wanted to do when I was 22. Like, I have the money to wild out the way I wanted to wild out when I was 22, yet I have no desire to wild out like I wanted to wild out when I was 22.
Bro, because I honestly look back now, man, the person that I wanted to be at the time in my 20s, I wasn't ready for that yet, mm-hmm. and that's why I didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm ready, like I said, I've become the man now to have the things that I wanted. The reason I wanted it before, it really wasn't pure. It was because I was people pleased. I wanted other people to like me, other people to see me driving this or see me in this or wearing this. And these people don't care about you anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to please people that don't even really care about me, essentially. Right. Mm-hmm. And so now that I know who I am, I'm walking in my purpose, walking in my truth. Now I'm not worried about pleasing other people. So now I could obtain whatever that thing is I wanted when I was in my 20s. I don't even really desire it anymore because it's not really even about that.
Yeah.
You know, so don't get me wrong. I like nice stuff, right? We all do.
Always.
And I still got some dream vehicles and I'm still planning to purchase. But at the same time, it's for myself now. It's not necessarily for others. Like at one point, I think it would have been when I was younger if mm-hmm. I had got it. So I think sometime, bro, we have to really be patient and really understand that things take time.
Yeah.
You know, like they say, Rome wasn't built in one day, you know?
Yeah.
For sure.
What are you working on now? What are you working towards? Because you mentioned 12 months out, moved away from the world of bodybuilding. And I know you've been transitioning. You're in business.
For sure.
I want to give you that platform and that ability to share the current work being done and the future projections.
Well, as of right now, I I'm obviously working on a mentor course. So obviously, you know, I just did my first webinar was about 2 weeks ago. I'm actually doing another one here, probably coming up in about a week. And so really my biggest thing, bro, is I see in the world right now, there's a lot of young men, especially mm-hmm. that are seeking guidance. And it's weird because my girl will tell you when I'm in the gym, when I'm out and about, I have a lot of young guys come up to me, seeking advice, seeking guidance. A lot of times it starts in the gym. They want to know, yo, Jay, how do I get my legs to get bigger? How do I get my arms to get bigger? Whatever, right? X, Y, Z. But then eventually we start having conversation and I start talking to these young guys about just real life. And I start realizing that they actually benefit more from me in real life than they do in the gym, mm-hmm. right? It starts with a gym relationship, but then eventually it turns into something more. And so I'm trying to come up with a concept now to where I can give back to young guys because I remember what it was like to be their age and mm-hmm. to be seeking guidance from older people, older mentors, people that you look up to. And when I was younger, bro, a lot of older guys really weren't in a position either or didn't really care or have the want to help younger people.
Yeah.
I remember going up to guys when I was 17, 18 years old, asking for help in the gym. And they kind of looked at me like, you know, who's this young kid asking me questions, you know? And really, I was just like a sponge at the time, bro, wanting to soak up as much information as I could. So now I realize that there's a space for that and there's a market for that. Mm-hmm. I kind of fell into it, not really because I wanted to. It's just what I've noticed young kids come up to me. So now, you know, I'm working on actually mentoring young guys. Obviously, I have my competitors that still compete. I still coach full time. I do online coaching now. So as of right now, I do have a webinar that I'm actually about to launch again probably next week, Thursday, actually. That'll be my second one I'm actually trying to do. And obviously, I'm still pushing my clothing brand as well. So I got, you know, a few things going on. I just kind of got into real estate recently, probably the last 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. Kind of a soft interest to that. My first deal closed today, actually. So when I get home, I got to go pick up a check. So,
congratulations.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. So, yeah. So I'm actually trying to put myself in a position, man, because I realized that the way we used to do things before, our parents, their parents, they didn't have some of the same opportunities we have now. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing time to be alive right now. And I think right now there's so many ways to make money, honest living, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people just have to be creative. So I see that there's ways for me to use the things I'm passionate about to monetize those things and to make a living off of those. So I'm standing, you know, on my square. I'm keeping 10 toes down about certain things. I'm not going to do things that I don't feel that are ethical, but mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm going to stay in my lane, in my realm, and I'm, you know, planning to expand that. So, you know, real estate, coaching, online coaching, I do a little bit in person still, not as much as I used to. It just doesn't seem like it's as feasible for me. I can reach way more people online than I can in person.
Yeah.
And it seems like the price point is a little bit better too as well. So for me, right now, coaching full time and real estate right now is really my main two big adventures that I'm actually embarking on this year.
Man, that's dope, man.
For sure.
You're going to crush it, I know for sure.
Well, speaking of the clothing line as well, I got a shirt for you, bro. I wanted to make sure that you get this here. So as you can see, so it's got the ambition on the front, like we talked about, obviously, because yep. everything starts with ambition, and I got the logo on the back. So I wanted to get that to you, man, on the actual show so you can have that, rip it.
I appreciate most that, man.
Appreciate you.
Hold that in the camera really quick.
For sure. Appreciate it.
This is the OG logo. I think
this is a good logo, man. For sure.
No, I love that. Hey.
Definitely got some more stuff coming out soon. So, you know, anybody that wants to, obviously, you know, partake in that, they can reach out to me on my social media platforms. I'm pretty much this Jermaine Todd on all social media platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, the whole nine.
Yeah.
So they can find me there.
I'll have that linked in the show notes below so people can just hop on that. What's our dream garage looking like, man, real quick?
Oh, man. I'll tell you this, bro. I got a few. My dream car, obviously, is the Mercedes G-Wagon. That's my number one. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, bro, I don't know if it's because it's a German vehicle and I was born in Germany. I don't know, but it's something that I gotta have. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, I want the souped up version, you know what I'm saying? The fully loaded, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
And you know, who doesn't want a Lambo? I would love to definitely, you know, and I'm talking about not the truck, but the actual, you know, that car, you know, the Huracan would be nice, something like that. But to be honest, bro, before that, I feel like the G-Wagon would be first, and then maybe like the R8 is what I'm kind of looking at. I think there's levels to it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You need an everyday car.
Yeah, for sure. The G-Wagon would be like an everyday get-around car. You know what I'm saying? For sure. And I like the aggressive look to it. So, and it's more practical, I guess you'd say, for like, you know, traveling and stuff like that. If I want to put, you know, I go bike riding sometime here and there, throw the bikes in the back, stuff like that. But, you know, practical on gas, maybe not so much. But you're not buying that vehicle to be, you know, efficient on gas. You buy it, you know, obviously because it's something that you want and desire. So, but those are my three, bro. You know, definitely the G-Wagon, the R8, and eventually the Lamb is really like my ultimate goal for sure.
I like it. I like it. There's a Volkswagen Phaeton. It's a luxury car. Really? And I feel like I have to have one of those in the garage. Just a Volkswagen Phaeton. I had to do a project way back when I was young on our ancestry, and obviously being from Haiti, I asked my dad, where does Phaeton come from? Yeah, I'm 100% Haitian.
Okay.
So my dad, I was like, where does Phaeton come from? He said, I don't know. Phaeton comes from whatever. So I made up a theory because Haiti was a French colony, and the Volkswagen Phaeton was an old car which was designed by a French designer.
Really?
So I'm just going to say right now, and when the slaves got their freedom in Haiti, many of them didn't know their names. They took their master's names. So Phaeton probably came because my ancestor was on the plantation or one of the slaves of the Phaeton designer from the Volkswagen Phaeton. The universe is telling me it's mine already.
Hey, it's already came to pass in the spiritual realm. It just has to in the physical for sure.
Yeah.
I feel like everything happens in the spiritual first. So definitely claim that, bro. We're going to manifest it for sure.
Absolutely.
You and me both. Even if I don't have it, bro, for a year, I need to at least be able to say that I had it. You know what I'm saying?
Ironically, I have more of a boat want.
Really?
Yeah. And I only said that because, you know, about to welcome my little kid into the world, and I think of what I would want to do day in and day out, and just, you know, I got a taste of lake life.
Yeah.
And the wife and I want a house in the lake.
That's what's up.
And it's Nautique G25 Paragon. I mean, this thing's nice, bro.
It sounds nice.
It lights up the water at night. It's got the sound system. Like, you surf off the back, and then I imagine you have a toy like that. Not only do your kids spend time with you, but your kids' friends spend time with you.
Sure.
And you get to kind of see the values that you're pouring, not just into your kids. And kind of like you get to mentor them because they all want to come hang out at the boat. So that's what the ambition of that is.
That's a vibe. Well, first off, too, man, on that, congratulations. I'm about to be a father for sure. That's a big step, bro. I'm proud of you, man. I definitely, you know, like I said, we've known each other for a long time. I've seen you grow in tremendous ways.
Yeah.
I've seen you step out, obviously doing this podcast, doing the mentorship, obviously with the Noble Knights. You got a lot going on, bro. And I definitely have seen the start, from the Greenville days to now. So, I just wanted to give you your flowers, bro, while you're still here to receive them and do it publicly and do it live. So, for what it's worth, bro, I'm proud of you for sure.
I appreciate that, man. Love that a lot. Love you, bro.
Likewise.
Last question. What is something that has happened to you or something that you've seen that shapes the way you view the world as a man?
What is something that has happened to me? It's a good question. Like I talked about earlier, my incarceration 6 years ago, that changed me in a lot of ways. I got to see things from a different lens. I was on the other side of the law, essentially, right? And so I got to see what that's really like for people that are on that side of things, because I had never experienced that side of things before. And so I realized that it's not a good position to be in whatsoever. There's a lot of things that need to be fixed in our justice system. And being on the other side for that short period of time allowed me to really be able to see, like, it's not all sweet out here, like a lot of people think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people out here are really struggling, bro. And a lot of people are going through a lot. And you just never know what someone's going through when you meet a person. I know I hid mine pretty well, me dealing with my emotions in that situation when I came out of that. But when you come in contact with a person, I encourage people out there, and I'll speak to the camera when I say this, treat people right, man. You never know what someone's dealing with. You never know if you can be a light to a person, okay? We take for granted the relationships we have with people, mm-hmm. the encounters we have with people. I told myself, I had a friend of mine not too long ago last year passed away, God rest his soul. I was at his funeral, and I remember thinking, sitting in the funeral, we never know when our last breath will be taken. We never know when our last day will be here. So my goal now is to be fully present when I'm having conversations with people, because I don't know if this would be my last time that I'm speaking with you. And I say you, meaning whoever I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. So I encourage you all out there, be present. Really be with the people that you're with. So much is going on now, bro, in the world. Social media, people. I see people out all the time. Now everybody's on their phone. People be hanging out with a group of people and not really be spending time with those people.
Yep.
They're with a group of people texting other people that are not with them. It's the most bizarre thing in the world. It's all these things that he's used to distract us from what's really important, bro. And the most important thing here is relationships and people. So to me, moving forward in my life, I have took a vow to make sure that I'm present in every single relationship and every single encounter that I have with a person, because you just never know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I try to tell people, always keep that in mind. When you meet someone at the gas station, you meet someone at the grocery store, whether it be your cashier, whether it be your waiter, your server, whatever it be polite, be present, because you never know what you say to a person can change their whole perspective on that day, or literally change how they're viewing themselves in that moment in time.
Yeah.
I heard Kevin Gates talked about this one time. He said there was a guy that he ran into in the gym one day, if I'm not mistaken. And he said this guy was, that day he had told himself that he was going to commit suicide. And he ran into Kevin Gates that day at the gym. Hmm. And he said that the conversation he had with Kevin gave him hope. And he told himself that he wasn't going to commit that egregious act when he got home, because he realized that someone made him feel like he was important. Someone seemed like they cared about him. Whether Kevin really did or not, he made him feel like he was important in his interaction. So I tell people, that's why I say, bro, you never know who you're speaking with. You never know what that person is dealing with. So to answer your question, for me, man, when I was incarcerated, that really changed me in a positive light, because I got to see things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And I had never been on that side before. And so sometimes I think it's important for us to really understand that things may be one way for us, but they may not necessarily be that way for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
JT, man.
Bro, appreciate you. Likewise, bro.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Thank you.
Most definitely.
I'm going to wrap up some of the things you said, and I took a couple notes, but I didn't take too many notes because I wanted to be present here the whole time. Most to the audience that rocked with us all the way to the end, you already know. Shout out to JT. Reach out to him if you're looking for that mentorship, if you're looking for that backup, right? And one day I want to look like that. The ability for JT to see the things that he wants in life and then manifest it and create it for himself. You have that same power within you. You just need to find that passion and chase the depth in the craft, as we mentioned inside. Ace, ambition creates everything. Yes, sir. And everything starts with ambition. Whatever it is you decide to do, go all in on it. Don't just play surface level. Don't stay in the shallow. Go in the depth, because that's where the bag is. You need to go deep. You got to be Jacques Cousteau in that joint to get it. And then run towards the demons. You can't avoid the pain. You can't avoid the weight. There is no easy way to do it. If you want that depth, you have to hold your breath to go deep within. Speaking of which, you also have to take that reflection of self, working on those weaknesses. As JT said, the reason wasn't pure. If the reason's not pure, you're not going to be able to withstand what it's taking to you to get to that goal. So lean in, find that passion, find that ambition, lean into that strength that you have within you. You put yourself under that weight. And as JT said, be polite, be present, because you never know how you could change someone's lives.
Definitely.
Guys, thank you so much for rocking with us. As always, hit that like button, that subscribe button, share this with somebody you know that's going to get benefit from it. And as always, leave us a rating, because you know that's how we can only get better, is by knowing how we serve you guys. And as I always say at the end of the episode, everybody wants the sunshine, but they don't want the rain. But you can't get the pleasure without first the pain. Let's grow. And ambition creates everything.
Most definitely. Peace, guys. Appreciate
Peace.
You. Let's get past the day.